All right, today I would like to discuss a collection of ideas relating to Shabbos Shira. As we all know, this week is Parshas B'Shalach, and Parshas B'Shalach has many different inyanim. We learn the Shira. There's the minute to put out food for the birds. Some hold that it's not a correct minute. Some say you should do it. And let's just discuss a couple of things relating to this week's parsha. The first thing let's talk about is the minhag that we have, our custom to recite every single day, the Shira, as part of Psukei Dezimra. It's our minhag. After we finish the Hallelukas and we say Vayivarach David, we then say Vayoyesha Hashem, we recite the Shira, and then we recite Yishtabach. Question is, how did the Shira enter into our Pesukei Dezimra? Nowhere is it mentioned anywhere in the Gemara the requirement to say Shiras Hayam in Pesukei Dezimra. The Pesukei Dezimra are comprised mainly of Ashrei and the Hallelukas. And that's it. So how did this come about? So the truth is, we have to go back to Gemara Rashon. The Gemara tells us that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim would sing every single day the Shiras Hayam when they offered to accompany the offering of the Tamid Shel Bein Ho'arboyim. Okay, this is the Gemara. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, not every day, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, only on Shabbos. Only on Shabbos. Now, we know that every single day we have the Yom. Hayom, every single day we have the Yom. That was what was said, Shachris. I'm not sure what they said in the afternoon, the Talmud Shel Bein Ho'arboyim. It could be they said the same thing, I don't know. But the Gemara says that on Shabbos Kodesh, Mincha, when they offered the Talmud Shel Bein Ho'arboyim, the Shira that was sung by the Levine to accompany the Karban was Shiras Hayom. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it seems that slowly the minhag evolved, where people, they longed for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted an Ashal Mefadim Sefaseinu, and they felt bad that no longer are we singing the Shiras Hayam as part of the Avodah. So it seems that it first started the minhag to say the Shiras Hayam on Shabbos, only on Shabbos. Because that was really the only time in the Beis HaMikdash when the Levim would sing the Shiras Hayam. Later, over time, somehow it extended to being recited not only on Shabbos, but to be recited every single day, and it was not accepted by Klal Yisrael in one shot. It was accepted bits and pieces, some groups yes, some groups not. Indeed, the Rambam, the time of the Rambam, it was not yet a universal custom to recite the Shiras Hayam every single day. He writes, there are some places that recite the Shiras Hayam, and he takes note that some places, instead of saying Shiras Hayam, they say Shiras Hazinu. Okay, so there were places where after Psukei Dezimra, instead of saying Shiras Hayam, they said instead Hazinu, and some place they did both. Now, another very big issue is it appears that originally the custom was not to say Shiras Hayam before Yishtabach, but the original custom was to say it after Yishtabach. So this touches upon, it's not called a hefsek, you say Yishtabach, and you say Baruch Hu, and then after Baruch Hu, before you give the Baruch of Yitzhar, so you say Shiras Hayam. So this touches upon the question, what exactly is really our minhag b'zman hazeh, the reason for the minhag of reciting Shiras Hayam? So some want to say it's simple, it's part of Sung, it's part of Halal, it's Shevach V'Hoidah. The problem with that approach is, why then does it come at the end? Shiras Hayam are psukim in the Torah. The Hallelukas is ksuvim. So the general rule is, Chumash has more Kedusha than Ksuvim. So if we're going to incorporate Oz Yashir into the Psuki Dezimra, seemingly it would be appropriate to be said in the beginning, when we recite Baruch Sha'amar, you make a bracha, and then, like we do on Rosh Hashanah, we recite Psukim, the Shofar, Malchus, Zichronos, we first recite Psukim from Chumash, and then we recite Psukim from Nach. So the fact that we are reciting Oz Yashir at the very end seems to indicate that it's not really part of Oz Yashir. And the Chanami, that might be, but yet, if that's really correct, it's not part of Psukim Zimra, and that's why we're not going in proper order, it would appear that it should be recited after Yishtabach, when it's completely removed from Psukei Dezimra, after we have concluded the bracha of Psukei Dezimra, then it would be the correct location to begin to say Psukim of Oz Yashir. So others want to say that they were making a mistake. Oz Yashir is not really part of Psukei de Zimra. Oz Yashir is really a chelik of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Kriya Shema, we only have an obligation to recite the first two parashiyos, Shema and V'choyo Im Shemoya. Why is it that we recite the parasha of Vayomer Tzitzis? Because the parasha of Tzitzis includes within it Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Oz Yashir is really, really an extension of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, it's not really part of Psukei de Zimra. We finish Psukei de Zimra with the Hallelujahs, and we say by the Baruch David, we say a few more Psukim, and then we recite Shiras Yam. We recite Shiras Yam as a beginning, a hakdama to the theme of the remembering of Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara relates that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he would give a shir, he was too busy to say the entire Kriya Shema. He had so many Talmidim, and it was so important for him to teach Torah, so he didn't say Kriya Shema. He just said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad. That was it. He didn't say all the parashios. And the Gemara is the question, but doesn't he have a requirement to say Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Gemara says he made sure that in the Shir he would say something relating to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So likewise, saying the parasha of Oz Yashir is a chelik of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, however, this is not so simple either, because according to many opinions, Kriyas Yamsuf is not a kiyum of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the pasuk says you should remember es yoim tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf is not the yoim tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's a week later. So many of the poskim are mefakfik. They find it to be problematic to say that you can actually fulfill your obligation with Yitzias Mitzrayim by singing the Shira, which is a zecher of an entirely different event. Others say no, it's the Gemar. It's the conclusion, it's the climax, it's not a big deal. Okay, before we just wrap this up, there's another two very interesting ideas of why it cannot be Oz Yashir to be part of the main part of Psukei de Zimra. There are two problems with Oz Yashir, not a problem, but two reasons why they would be excluded from Psukei de Zimra. Number one, Psukei de Zimra, according to Chazal, in Chazal's eyes, is a shira that we recite to praise Hashem for natural occurrences. The Gemara says anyone that says halal every single day is a mechoref and a megadef. If you go and you give halal to Hashem, we don't say, only say halal occasionally. Because if you say it every single day, you're mechorif. So the question is, really? Don't we say Psukei de Zimra every single day? So here's the answer. Psukei de Zimra is shevach of ordinary events. The sun rises, the sun sets, the bria, there's food, you're healthy, the world continues to exist, al derech hateva. Halal that we recite on Yom Tov is a recognition of praise to Hashem for doing things l'mayla miderech hateva. If you give praise to Hashem for miracles l'mayla miderech hateva every single day, hareze mechorif u'megadef. Therefore, Kriyas Yamsuf does not belong, cannot then possibly be part of Psukei de Zimra. Because Kriyas Yamsuf is an event that's 100% l'mayla miderech hateva. So therefore, it has to be that the reason why we say Kriyas Yamsuf is not because of Psukei de Zimra, because Psukei de Zimra has to be for natural occurrences. So it must then be that the primary reason we say this is because of Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. Another interesting insight why it cannot be is one of the most distinguishing differences between Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim is Moshe Rabbeinu. Lel Pesach, Moshe Rabbeinu is not part of the Haggadah. He's only mentioned incidentally. And only mentioned Vayosha. Where is Vayosha? Vayosha is Kriyas Yamsuf. A chelik of Kriyas Yamsuf is not just Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of Kriyas Yamsuf is Vayaminu Bahashem uve Moshe Avdo. The essence of Kriyas Yamsuf is a shevach to Hashem and a recognition of Moshe Rabbeinu. And all that Moshe Rabbeinu represents, the Rabbanon, every generation, whoever are the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they serve in the capacity of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the fundamental difference between Yitzhak. Yitzhak Yisrael is, Bilti la Hashem levadai. Yitzias, ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy sarf, ani v'loy shliach. Yitzias Mitzrayim is Hashem alone. Kriyas Yamsuf, it's Hashem, but also a recognition of Moshe Rabbeinu. Psukei de Zimra is only about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Psukei de Zimra is not a time to sing the praises of the rabbi. You don't go in the morning and give shevach to the Rav in the morning. That's not what Psukei de Zimra is, only Hashem. Therefore, if we're going to recite Kriyas Yamsuf as a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's out of place. Because Kriyas Yamsuf includes within it Moshe Rabbeinu, and including a human being in Psukei de Zimra is going against the grain of what Psukei de Zimra is all about. And therefore, it's much more logical that the purpose of reciting Kriyas Yamsuf is to be the beginning of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so Sach HaKol, we take away from this over here is, we it is our minuk to recite Kriyas Yamsuf every single day. How did this come about? Well, let's go back to the source. The source that started in the Beis HaMikdash, it was the Shira that was sung by the Levim on Shabbos only, at the time when the Gemach of the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim. It appears as an extension of that, a longing to return to those glorious days. That is to some degree why when we daven, our davening is Meshalma Fodim Sifoseinu, we're bringing the Talmud, we're bringing Shachris, Talmud Shel Shachris, but it's all part of the Talmud, as a longing to reenact what was in the Beis HaMikdash. Somehow that became part of our routine. The big debate among the Paiskim is it a chelik of Psukei de Zimra? Is it a chelik of Zechiras Yitzias? So there are two dinim. They're really, both elements are really there. On the one hand, as we mentioned, it's problematic to be part of Psukei de Zimra for many reasons. Because it's Psukim of Chumash, it should go first. Number two, it mentions Moshe Rabbeinu. Number three, it's the Malam Derech HaTeva. But if that was correct, then we should say it after we say Yishtabach. Why are we saying it before we say Yishtabach? So obviously there's a bit of both. There's a degree of both. Anyway, we're going to say Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim by mentioning Parash of Tzitzis. We're anyway going to do it later on. So it has to be that there's some hybrid, a hybrid of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and also a degree of Shevach V'Hoida, and also a longing to return to the Beis HaMikdash. When we did say this on Shabbos Mincha, all of these different ideas have come together to combine into what we do today, to recite it at the end of Psukei de Zimra before we recite Yishtabach. And again, some people also say Shiras Hazinu. I've never seen this, but it's what it says. There's some minhagim to say Shiras Hazinu as well. Okay, that concludes this little topic. Let's go to another topic. Next short topic of Shabbos Shira is, do you stand when they lane Az Yashir, is it proper to stand or sit? The Minika Olam is to stand. Now that's a bit problematic. And this problem really is rooted in the Machlokes and the Rambam and the Yaivets with regard to standing for the Aseres HaDibros. The Rambam very strongly writes that a person should not stand for the Aseres HaDibros. But nay, because of the meaning, because people are going to say that this is the only thing you have to observe. You only have to observe the Aseres HaDibros, and the rest of Chamish Chamishon you do not need to observe. So the Rambam says you should sit the entire laning, including the Aseres HaDibros. The Yaivet says no, you don't have to. You should stand. Everyone knows Bizman Hazeh, no one's going to make that mistake. Everyone knows that the Aseres HaDibros are unique because it was given Nisidai on the Luchos. It's a different league, and especially there's a lot of lomdus that want to say that when you read the Aseres HaDibros, it's not just learning Torah, it's a reenactment of Kabbalah HaTorah. You mekabel the Torah once again, so therefore just like a Kabbalah HaTorah was given when we were standing, we have to stand again for the reading of the Aseres HaDibros. That all explains very nicely why you would stand for the Aseres HaDibros, but how does that translate into standing for Oz Yashir? So it's not so simple. It's not so simple if there really is an Inyan. So some say that what is the essence of Oz Yashir for us? Emuna, Ani Mamin, Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Chavakuk, at the end of Masechta, Makos, the Gemara says all of the Nevi'im came along and they said, don't focus on Taryag, it's too much. They lowered our requirements until the last of the Nevi'im, Chavakuk, came along and said, there's only one thing you should focus on in your life. Emuna. V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. That, in essence, is what Oz Yosher is. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. It is a moment where we're trying to instill, to bring into our minds emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And many Paiskim say, therefore, it's kedai, it's worthy, we should stand. It should make an impression upon us that it's not an impression that this is really what it all comes down to. When it's all said and done, we're living over here in Ikfs the Mashicha, it all comes down to, and therefore it's kedai to stand so that it makes a slight impression upon us, the Indian of Emunah. By the same thing, you stand also.
So if you're standing for the Rambam wouldn't argue about the Vayivar.
But that's during Tfil. The Rambam writes himself that in his day and age, people did not say, they were not saying Oz Yosher is part of davening.
But the Vayivar of David, they did say.
They did say, so did they stand for the Vayivar of David? Not necessarily. So once, the Rambam doesn't address that.
My question is, why do the Lutvaks who sit Vayivar of David?
Who says they sit? I'm a Litvak, I stand.
I am sit.
What?
Yeah?
I'm willing to sit.
Yeah.
Who sits?
I'm
they sit for the whole thing. This is Baruch Shammah. First of all, they don't sit. I once asked, no, Rosh Hashiva sits. I once asked on one of the Paiskim. I said, how can we sit here? He said to me, we don't sit here. I said, but the Rosh Hashiva sits. Says, the Rosh Hashiva sits for, it's hard. He can't stand. What he does is not relevant to the halacha.
He can't stand it.
They don't sit. I don't know what the answer is. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says that you stand for Baruch Shamar, you stand for Yishtabach. In between there are different mitzvahim. That's not a riot. Don't bring any riot from what they do or that's done over there. It's not a riot. Okay. So this is a very interesting topic. It's emunah. Emunah, it's kedai to stand. He brings here there are different minhagim among different gedolei Yisrael. He brings here that the stibler stood. The stibler stood. He stood for Oz Yashir. But he brings here as well. But he brings here that Rebel Yashiv, he sat. Rebel Yashiv was makbid not to stand. He sat. Even though he had the koyach to stand, he was machmir on the Rambam.
I don't know.
The Gra sat. The Gra sat for sure.
Really?
The Gra. He writes, and my that's right. My Sarah. The Gra sat.
Sure, everybody stands.
Selective. When you say Gra, it means selective. Whatever's convenient. The whole thing. Ben Torah, what is
stands for Boshama too?
Who? No, that's davening. You're mixing Kriyas HaTorah and davening. I would imagine he stood. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine the girl stood for Baruch Shomar. Kriyas HaTorah, he sat, the girl. But for davening, you have to stand. You make a bracha. Birchas HaMitzvahs, you stand. That's a whole different league. Okay, let's go to another topic. The minig is you should. It's brought down that you're supposed to say this Shabbos, when you come to Oz Yosher, you're supposed to recite it pasuk by pasuk. Unfortunately, this minig is not a very popular minig in Flapush. No, it's not so. You never did that, so good for good. Okay, the shuls that I've been around, they don't. I don't see it being done. I don't know, but it's supposed to. Look, you're supposed to do this by a bris mila, by Yivarech David, the chorosim bar bris. Do they do in every shul?
Yes.
I've been to many bris and they don't do it. All right. It all depends. Okay, let's go further. Okay, running out of time. Next. Okay, next custom. Next custom is the minig of eating chitim. There is a minig on Shabbos sure to eat chitim, to eat wheat. Kernels, toasted kernels of wheat. Where can you buy toasted kernels of wheat? Oh, nuts. They sell it? What? Toasted kernels of wheat. Why? Why do you eat on Shabbos Shir? Why is there a minhag on Shabbos Shir? Toasted kernels of wheat. So one reason, the zecher for the man, because the man was kizera gad lavan, coriander, like a white coriander. All right, so I guess coriander is not common among us. It was not in the past. So therefore, the closest thing to remember this concept called kizera gad lavan, a white seed, was a toast they had available, kernels of wheat. So it became a minhag. That's one time. A second time is for an entirely different reason, is that it was the minhag that the Shabbos parashas b'shalach was the kickoff zman for Pesach. It's a reminder, it's time to get ready to bake matzahs and to go and purchase your wheat and to make sure the wheat is either harvested or you purchase it and it's shemura mishas katsira. Already last year, but already you get busy. You may have made hachonis in advance, but it's the kickoff season of kimcha de pischa. I guess maybe to prepare for the aniyim is it doesn't matter. Too much. That's why we need to eat wheat. Okay, let's go to another idea. Giving. Distributing food for birds. The reward. The symbol. There are two reasons why we focus on the birds. It's Shabbos Shira. The ones who are in charge of song are the birds. The birds and all of the different creatures that Hashem created in this world, the creatures that excel in the koyach of shira are the birds. Atzipirim. Therefore, the birds, it's their Shabbos. If you want to know how to sing, the birds say, come to us. We'll teach you all the secrets of song. Oz Yashir Moshe, there's no question Moshe Rabbeinu had to learn the koyach of shira, of song and music from the birds. So the birds, they get their due, they're fed well on their Shabbos. That's one interpretation. The other popular interpretation is to reward them for the einikloch of the zedis, of the ones who ate up the man of Dosan Va'aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that there's not going to be man on Shabbos. Dosan Va'aviram were always trying to make trouble, troublemakers, and they took their portion, they put it out in the street a Friday night when no one was watching. It would have been a chil Hashem if Klal Yisrael would wake up in the morning and they would see there was man out in the street, so the birds came along and took it away in reward for coming to the defense of Moshe Rabbeinu. Their enikloch at Soif Kol Hadorois are well fed on Shabbos Parshas Shira. This is a minhag vosikin, an old minhag, and Chazal say if this is the minhag mevatel halacha. There's halacha. You're not allowed to feed a creature that you have no responsibility for. You're not allowed to feed a stray dog. You're not allowed to feed a stray cat. You only can feed creatures that you are responsible for. Your goldfish. Your goldfish. What?
On Shabbos.
Why we give it to them on Friday?
Oh, not so simple. That's not the minhag. The real minhag is to give it on Shabbos. To go out and feed the birds on Shabbos, bo bayom. That's the real minhag. Erev Shabbos, it's too early. What are you doing? You might as well go do it in the middle of the summer. Okay, this is a topic of discussion. This minhag is in contradiction to the halacha. The halacha is you're not allowed to feed a creature for which you have no responsibility to. So how do we reconcile the minhag vosik? This is an old minhag, goes back even 1,000 years. This is not some new chassidish minhag that came around last week. This is something. This is the real deal. This is a real deal minhag to feed the birds. But it's in contradiction to the halacha. So here we apply the principle minog mevatel halacha. Minhag has more weight than halacha, even though it's taka halacha. No, it's okay. You can do it. Others say this is not a bit of halacha for many reasons. Number one, it's only usher to feed, only usher to birds. First of all, they depend upon us. At this time of the year, there's no food out there. It's cold. It's winter. It's going to snow. Hope not. But it's not so easy for birds to survive at this time of the year. And the birds, we need the birds. We need the birds more than we think for the environment. For the environment, we need the birds. The ecosystem, therefore, we have to feed the birds. It's upon us. It's on our chayes. Another reason we feed the birds, another very nice reason, we're not feeding the birds because we care about the birds. We care about ourselves. We're doing it to remind ourselves of Shira. We're doing it to remind ourselves of being loyal to Gedolei Yisrael and not making trouble. Boy, do we need to focus on this concept. So therefore, we're really doing it for ourselves. The birds happen to be the recipients. If you're doing it for the birds, you're not allowed to. It's not. But we're doing it for yourself. then it's a mutter. Others say you're not giving it to them directly. The only reason why you're not allowed to feed an animal on Shabbos is primarily because you may come to capture them. Tzeda. You may come to capture. But if you do it in a way where you're definitely not going to come to capture the bird, there's no trap, you put it out and you go away. You don't actually feed them. You don't actually let them come into your hand. You feed them and you don't actually touch them, then there's no concern of tzeda. That's not a violation of halacha. And then you put the food out, or some say what you're supposed to is you're not supposed to feed them directly. After you finish your Shabbos meal, you have a tablecloth, it's full of crumbs. So you shake out the tablecloth. So you're not feeding them, you're feeding them indirectly. I'm eating, as I eat, I make crumbs, and I finish, and I have an Eruv, I go outside and I shake out the tablecloth, and the mail, all of the crumbs fall for the birds. So these are many heterim of why this minig is to be done. Okay, let me just discuss one topic very quickly, a very nice topic, the topic of dancing. Oz, it says that Miriam, by Tetzay, Miriam, she went out, they went out with musical instruments and dancing. How dancing, where does dancing come into the world of halacha? So he has some fascinating stuff here of Dvorkis. First of all, who is the first creature in this world we find danced? Dancing comes from Malachim. The first mention of dancing is when Adam and Chava got married, Hashem made for them 10 chuppos, and it says there, V'hoyu hamalachim misoifefim bitubim umirakdim kinekevois. By the way, dancing you find primarily in reference to females. It says here by the Shira, only the Noshim went out, besufim uvim choylois. It does not say anywhere the men went out dancing. Men don't know how to dance. Women know how to dance, not the men.
Instruments.
What?
The men didn't prepare instruments.
Okay, but the women danced, not the men. It says here the first makar for dancing is the malachim, and that means every time you go to a simcha and you dance, what you're really doing is you're connecting yourself to malachim, you're imitating angels. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, we find what is the model of dancing? Dancing is achdus. Most dancing is a circle. When you're in a circle, everyone is the same. And that is why it says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is be'emsa. What does that mean? What's the deeper meaning is that when Mashiach comes, no one's going to be jealous. We live in a world where it's all about money and jealousy. Kina, taiva, and kavod. And jealousy is what drives people to accomplish things in this world. And people are jealous. And not just jealous of gashmius, people are jealous of ruchnius. Okay, we don't have time, a good story. The people are very jealous in Yoni Ruchni. So, in Lasalavo, everyone's going to realize they got what they deserved. They accomplished what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Koychos Hashem gave them. Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asos mechol la'tzadikim. And that means Hashem will remove from us jealousy. Now, it says in the Megillah, that in Eicha, that Hashem turned our joy, our simcha, hafach, evlam, our dancing, into mourning. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Is when we go at Rachman Litzlan, Lo Yaleinu, at the base Ovel, after the Kavura, what do we do? Coming called Ashura. Ashura. Everyone lines up and the other walks in between. What's all that about? What's the purpose of doing that? That is basically the opposite of dancing. When you dance, generally, everyone is in a circle and everyone is moving. There's movement. And the chasan, the center of attention, the Baal Simcha, is in the middle. And everyone is dancing around him. The Pasuk in Eicha says, part of the Churban, I'm going to transform your dancing into mourning. What's the transformation? How does dancing turn into mourning? That's exactly what Ashur is. Ashur is Bamish Pumfakert. The people standing around are stationary. They're not in movement. And the person in the center, he's in motion. And he's walking in between. The whole concept of an Ovel walking in between two rows of people who are stationary is the complete opposite of what happens at a time of Simcha when the Chas and Kala sit in the middle. Ketzan Meraktim Lefnei HaKala. The Kala sits in the middle. She doesn't move. And everyone goes in a circle around them. An Ovel is Pumfakert. By an Ovel, everyone is standing still. not in a circle, but in a shura. So it's not even a machal; it's a shura, which also takes away from what. And the ovel, the person mourning, is the one that's moving between them. So this is the deeper meaning of why, by an avelos, it's the complete opposite. And the time of simcha, you don't just view it as simcha; view simcha as the complete transformation of the hibuch of avelos to a state of simcha. It's a very deep idea. These two are the two extreme opposites. Okay. Simcha, dancing, coin, occupy the major, is a major theme in Hasidus. And in fact, this is one of the core reasons why the Misnagdim objected to Hasidim. They saw them dancing. They could not tolerate. They could not tolerate the dancing. And when they wrote the Kol Koreis to put the Hasidim in the Hasidim, anyone that was a dancer was already nechshat. That is a chassid. And this was a big, this was that Hasidus is built by, it's built very heavily on the concept of dancing. Why? Because dancing in Hasidus represents, when you dance, you jump. You lift yourself off the ground. The ground is cursed. The earth is cursed. When you dance, what you're basically doing is you're elevating, you're using the gashmias to elevate your neshama, to distance yourself from the olam hagashmi. That's what you're trying to do in dancing, to achieve a spiritual state, and the spiritual state is achieved. Others say dancing represents, the concept is that it's impossible for a person's neshama to have joy unless his guf has joy. The neshama can't be misameach fully unless the guf is has simcha. So when you dance, you're giving tremendous simcha to the guf. And once the guf has simcha, the male it automatically uplifts the neshama as well. Okay, those are some of the basic yesodos of dancing, and we'll stop over here.